Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we'll consider this morning comes from the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning with verse 6, a portion of our epistle reading for today. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Thus far the Holy Word. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, dear fellow redeemed. How smart am I really? Have you ever asked yourself that question? I think everybody tends to wonder that about themselves from time to time, thus the proliferation and popularity of the various IQ tests that are on the internet these days. When I was young, I used to think I was pretty smart, at least as smart as the next guy, I guess. That was until I went to college. There I discovered the truth that there are a lot of people who are smarter than me. I had a few classes that are more advanced in which I had the distinct feeling that everyone in the room was much smarter than I was. Perhaps you've asked that question of yourself. How smart am I really? Some of you I know here today have college degrees. A few of you may have advanced college degrees. For many people, though, not even that is enough. That's why continuing education is such a popular trend today and why so many older Americans are returning to college. Evidently, they've asked themselves, how smart am I really? And the answer they got was, not smart enough, or at least not yet. Well, if you ever thought that about yourself, you may be underestimating yourself. If you have enough Christian faith to bring you here to God's house this morning, then you have a wisdom that is very great indeed, a wisdom you may not even have thought about. This special wisdom is the topic of the Apostle Paul in our text for today. It's the wisdom of God, the Holy Gospel. If you've learned the good news about Jesus, then in the words of our theme, you're smarter than you think. You've got a wisdom that the most powerful people in the world haven't got. You have a wisdom kept secret since the foundation of the world. You have a wisdom that can only be revealed through the Holy Spirit. We pick up Paul's letter to the Corinthians in the sixth verse of the second chapter. He's just gotten finished in verses 3 and 4, admitting that he's not a very smart guy, at least not in terms of human wisdom. He says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. In terms of charisma, personal presence, and powerful speaking style, the Apostle Paul might have gotten a C- or a D. And yet, Paul's preaching was powerful. Not because he himself was powerful, but because the message he proclaimed had a power all its own. In this section, his message is about wisdom. We speak wisdom among those who are mature. Mature in the sense of complete or advanced in the faith. Paul's topic here is wisdom, and that's a subject for grown-ups, for people who are mature, not neophytes in the faith, but people who have learned something. What are the milestones of maturity in our society? I was thinking about that, and one thought that came to mind was high school graduation. That's one of the hallmarks of someone who is coming of age. Most graduates are no longer minors, so they're either 18 years old or they shortly will be. But Paul here is talking about a spiritual maturity, and that's a whole different subject. Have you got spiritual maturity? When you were a little child, your parents taught you Bible stories, told you about Jesus and what he had done for you, and you believed them, didn't you? Because they're your parents, and you just accepted what they told you. But as you grew older and moved toward independence, you got to the point where you no longer accepted things just because your parents said so. Spiritual maturity means making that faith your own. It means becoming personally convinced that what the Bible says is true and living your life according to that conviction. If you've reached that point of spiritual maturity, Paul says, then you're smarter than you think. In fact, the apostle says you have a wisdom the most powerful people in the world haven't got. We speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. The rulers that Paul was referring to were the intellectual giants of his time, the scribes and the Pharisees, the Bible scholars. They were the PhDs of the ancient world. Paul himself had been educated under them. Everyone in society looked up to these great authoritative scholars, the scribes and the Pharisees. They considered them the paragons of wisdom and learning. But when it came to the highest wisdom of all, the wisdom of God, these scholars were completely ignorant. They knew nothing, and they proved their ignorance by nailing the Son of God to a tree on Good Friday. Paul says, none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I don't think things have changed all that much since then. Who do people look up to in our day and age? They look up to the scholars, don't they? The PhDs and the college professors, the Harvard MBAs and the think tank analysts. These are some of the most powerful people in the world. Some of the greatest authorities that people respect are the rulers of this age. And you know, there's one thing that unites all of these people, and that's their contempt for your Christian faith. Who could be so naive and foolish to put his trust in the Bible, a dusty old book that's full of myths and fairy tales? Not you, surely. You're not as dumb as that, are you? How are you going to answer when those sneers are directed at you? Because they will be. If they haven't yet, they certainly will be one day. And many a Christian has had his head turned by the skeptical, humanistic atmosphere that pervades our secular society, especially in some of our more humanist institutions, our public universities. Don't be taken in. You're smarter than you think. Paul says that if you have a spirit-worked faith in Christ, you already have a great wisdom, a wisdom that's denied all of these other respected authorities. Don't be amazed if the powerful of this world don't share your Christian convictions. Paul actually told you to expect the opposite. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Gregory the Great once aptly remarked that God chose fishermen to teach the gospel to scholars, not the other way around. Is it surprising that so few people have gained the wisdom of God? Not really. Not when you consider that this is a wisdom kept hidden since the foundation of the world. Paul says, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages." Now is probably a good time to ask you a question, especially the younger people in our congregation today. What do you want out of life? What will it take to make your future turn out just the way you want it? Will a high-paying job fill the bill or a prestigious career? What about a beautiful house? Nice family, lovely car. In broad terms, I think that we can safely say that what all of us want out of life is happiness, isn't it? But it's pretty hard to be happy in this life if a person isn't sure what's going to happen to him in the next life. So what you really need is assurance of happiness for this life and the next. The problem is there's a big obstacle standing in the way of that goal, and that obstacle is called sin. For thousands of years, sin and its consequences have robbed people of their happiness. Famed psychiatrist Carl Menninger once remarked that if he could convince his patients that their sins were forgiven, three-quarters of them would walk out of his clinics cured the next day. The finest philosophers of every age have focused their wisdom on finding an answer for sin. Some tried to ignore sin and pretend that it didn't exist. Some acknowledged the existence of sin, but said that it really didn't matter. Some came up with elaborate systems of good works whereby the person himself would make up for his sin. That was what the Pharisees did in Jesus' day, what many denominations still do today. But none of these plans work. None of them really offers an authoritative answer to sin. God knew that if there was to be an answer for sin, he would have to provide it himself. So the Lord, in his wisdom, came up with a plan so amazing that no one would ever have guessed it in a million years. He would send his only son to earth to sacrifice his life for the lives of sinners, to give us the righteousness we need. Jesus kept God's law perfectly, all those commandments we heard in our Old Testament reading this morning. He kept all of God's requirements from A to Z. To pay for the sins of which we're guilty, Jesus shed his precious blood on Calvary's cross. There is the answer to sin. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages. It's been hidden all these years, and for most people in our world, it remains hidden, doesn't it? Our text says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Not that the gospel hasn't been freely preached to all, it has. It's hidden because this is a wisdom that can't be found out using a laboratory or test tubes. No amount of research, no number of advanced degrees from prestigious universities will allow you to glean this most important wisdom. That's what makes you so special. If you've got faith, if you possess a simple trust in Jesus as your Savior from sin, then you're way smarter than you think, because you have a wisdom that can only be revealed through the Holy Spirit. Does it bother you like it bothers me when people contrast science and religion? They act as though spiritual knowledge is somehow inferior to so-called scientific knowledge. Oh yes, religion is nice, they all admit, and it has its place, but it's not really about facts like science is it? The truth is that the gospel is a fact. The fact that Jesus died on a cross some 2,000 years ago and by doing so atoned for all the sins of every sinner in the world, that's a fact. The fact that by giving you faith in him to trust him as your Savior, he has redeemed you for time and eternity, that's also a fact. A fact so superior to any known science that there's no way you can ever learn it on your own. It has to be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says plainly that no one can say that Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Many people have been offended by the message of the cross and have turned away when the Holy Spirit was knocking at the door of their hearts. Praise God, he has saved you. The Holy Spirit has entered into your heart through the preaching of the gospel and has made you receive the good news of a Savior from sin. He made a new creature out of you. He's shown you what he has done for you and given you the faith to trust Jesus as your Savior. Now you can rest assured that all those wonderful things that the Bible describes, all the promises it makes, really do apply to you, as well as the promise that your Lord will one day speak those blessed words to you. "Come, you blessed of my Father, and receive the inheritance prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Have you achieved anything lately that you're particularly proud of? Perhaps you're a student and you took a hard class and got a good grade. Or maybe you're an executive and you got a big promotion. Perhaps you're an older person who recently reached the goal of retirement. Whatever the case, I would ask of you today, don't forget your greatest achievement. one that you didn't earn, but that was given to you by the grace of God, faith. Think about it. What achievement can possibly give you greater peace than your faith in Christ? It bestows on you the peace of a clean conscience and sins forgiven. What career can ever give you more power? The humblest Christian who prays on his bended knees is more powerful than the President of the United States. What insurance policy can give you greater security? And Christ, your Heavenly Father, has promised to provide you with everything you need and want for this life and the next. What diploma will give you greater satisfaction than the satisfaction of knowing that you're going to live forever in heaven? You're off to a great start. No matter what your calling is, God has promised you in Christ that your career will end gloriously in the eternal happiness of heaven. If you know that, if you only know that, then you've got the greatest wisdom you could possibly ever achieve. And it may well be true that you're much smarter than you think. Amen. Please rise.